In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's kind of interesting. I've been thinking a lot this week about Halloween, All Saints Day, and oddly enough, magic. Not the kind of magic that you see witches and warlocks and Wiccans perform, but sleight of hand, illusion, commonly called prestidigitation. The reason that there's other words for this magic, we know people like Doug Henning and David Copperfield is another one, David Blaine, most recently, Chris Angel. The reason that magicians don't like to use the term magic is because we do nothing special. We do nothing that no one else can do. We use lies and sleight of hand. It might seem miraculous. Yes, a card will change before your eyes. Yes, we can pull scarves and silks out of thin air. Is that what you think happened with Lazarus? Do you think this was some elaborate ruse to actually increase Christ's popularity to spread the message? Or was this divine nature revealing itself? Isn't that what we hear in the gospel? This is shown to you for the glory of God, so that you may believe. Earlier in this same passage, Christ asks Martha, "Do you believe that I can raise him from the dead?" Martha's response is, "Of course, Lord. We know that he'll raise with us all at the last day." That's not the point. This is to show that Lord is Lord even of death. There's a passing phase. It's not an illusion. It's not a sleight of hand. Some people think we use All Saints Day to remember a better time instead of Halloween. Halloween was a time that everybody dressed up in masks because we didn't want the evil spirits to find us. That's not what All Saints Day is about. More appropriately, All Saints Day is about actually being found. It's an entire brotherhood of all of those who have gone before us and all who will come after. There's some really good stuff in Lesser Feasts and Fasts about what All Saints Day is that I'd like to actually read to you. There were some things that actually surprised me as well. It is believed by many scholars that the commemoration of all the saints on November 1st originated in Ireland, spread from there to England, and then to the continent of Europe. That it had reached Rome and had been adopted there early in the 9th century is attested by a letter of Pope Gregory IV, who reigned from 828 to 844, to Emperor Louis the Pious, urging that such a festival be observed throughout the Holy Roman Empire. However, the desire of Christian people to express the intercommunion of the living and the dead in the body of Christ by a commemoration of those who, having professed faith in the living Christ in the days past, had entered into the nearer presence of the Lord, and especially of those who had crowned their profession with heroic deaths, was far older than the early Middle Ages. Gregory Thaumaturgus, the wonder worker, think magician, writing before the year 270, refers to the observance of a festival of all martyrs, though he does not date it. 100 years later, Ephraim the deacon mentions such an observance in Edessa on May 13th, and the patriarch John Chrysostom, who died in 407, says that a festival of all saints was observed on the first Sunday after Pentecost in Constantinople at the time of his episcopate. The contemporary lectionary of the East Syrians set a commemoration of all the saints on Friday in Easter week. On May 13th in the year 610, the Parthenon in Rome, originally a pagan temple dedicated to all the gods, was dedicated as the Church of St. Mary's and All Martyrs. All Saints' Day is classed in the prayer book of 1979 as a principal feast. Principal feast means it's one that we must observe. Taking precedence of any other day or observance, among the seven so classified, All Saints' Day alone may be observed on the following Sunday, in addition to its observance on its fixed date. It is one of the 4 days recommended in the prayer book for the administration of holy baptism. Why do you suppose that's so important, that last little bit about holy baptism? The saints still exist. We are still in communion with them. We are not separated by death. It's more of a pause. More importantly, do you think many of these people would have had the ability or the faith to confess Christ as Lord when they're getting ready to be beheaded, if what Christ had done at Lazarus' tomb, which is also a foreshadowing of Easter, was nothing more than a trick? Is the empty tomb sleight of hand? Is it something we make up to feel better? No. It's real. It's absolute. And on this day, among all others, we remember that it's important. Without it, our tears are never wiped away for ones that we lose. Without it, we can never hope to have any better than we have. Without it, we struggle in futility. Are you a congregation that's here because it's a futile attempt? A chance to hide from the dark? Or are you here to join with the communion of saints across all time to meet Christ at the altar and join our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters that have gone before? It's not about ghosts and ghoulies. It's not about candy and goblins. It's about life everlasting in the Lord, who is the Lord of lords and King of kings. It is not a time to hide or fear or cry or tremble. It is a time to rejoice because the tomb is empty. He is risen and promised that we will too. Amen.